Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
We'll begin this evening with the easing of restrictions, or talk of, because later this evening the Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID will meet to discuss the potential for relaxing restrictions from Easter Monday next. It's expected that any changes will be small and could be spread out over the month of April. Earlier, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly spoke in the Shannon about the impact the vaccine rollout has had on the groups that have received the doses so far.
The number of cases of COVID amongst those aged 85 and older over the past 2 weeks was 12% below what it was during the previous 2 weeks. In January, 15% of all COVID cases were found in nursing home outbreaks. By mid-March, this figure had reduced from 15% to just 1%. The vaccination program has already had a big impact on reducing the levels of hospitalization due to COVID as well. The available epidemiological data has shown a 67% fall in the number of cases among over 65s, with experts expecting that downward trend to continue as we proceed with the vaccination of that priority group.
The minister also spoke about the scale of the vaccination programme that's expected to be achieved in the coming months.
By the end of September, we expect to have offered all adults in Ireland a COVID-19 vaccine. Over the next 3 months, between April and the end of July, we expect to receive over 3 times the number of vaccines we received over the first 3 months of the year. We expect to receive an average of 1 million vaccines a month during the next quarter, dependent on the ability of manufacturers to deliver consistent, ongoing supply.
And that is Minister Stephen Donnelly speaking earlier in the Shannon. So given those ambitions, will there be a vaccine bonus for society in the coming months? And in the meantime, what more will we be allowed to do in the coming weeks? I'm joined now by Jack Horgan-Jones, who's political reporter with the Irish Times. Jack, you're very welcome to the programme. You're skulking around ministers digitally or by phone as much as you can. What are you hearing about the areas the government will focus on tomorrow when they propose to relax restrictions?
Yeah, so, I mean, if we were talking about bankers, I think you'd be looking at anything to do with being outside, really. So the 5K limit, I would imagine, is almost certainly going to be lifted. The only outstanding question there is whether it goes to something like 8, 10 or 12 kilometres, or whether it goes further to countywide travel being permitted. And then there will almost certainly be some movement on increased activity outside. Now, if I were a betting man, I would say that perhaps the first area of focus within that kind of umbrella of increased activity outside would be something around kids training, with a nod to it being the Easter holidays at the moment and kids being perhaps cooped up inside to a greater degree than is desirable. And then perhaps something on household mixing as well, to households, greater numbers of people being able to meet outside, go to parks and so on and so forth. And then perhaps, but this would probably be the least likely or the most contentious, something like inter-county GAA training or adult sports teams training together in pods of 50.
And the 5K and the outdoor activities, they've been well flagged, Jack, haven't they? But are you detecting that going into these meetings that the government is likely to be pretty cautious and conservative here?
They're the watchwords. In fact, if anything, over the last 24 hours or so, the approach has become more cautious. And we're now hearing about a phased approach within April. So you might get a situation whereby a micro step might be taken around kids training, and then everything else stays in a holding pattern for a week before they follow up with something again. And I think that is very much in keeping with the outlook and in keeping with the government view at the moment, which is that if they can get through the next 4, 6, 8 weeks without giving any significant hostages to fortune or slipping up or losing control of case numbers, then they can start to look with some degree of confidence towards those vaccinations coming on stream, that flood of vaccines, that Q2 ramp up that we've heard so much about, and then perhaps look during June and onwards to more substantial relaxation. So really what we're seeing at the moment is about kind of holding what you have and consolidating, you know, the opening of schools and so on. It's not about ambition or dramatic changes in the way people are going to be living their day-to-day lives.
Yeah, it's about appeasing a little bit of public frustration, I suppose, and fatigue with the restrictions in general. They're dealing with that, but they're also dealing with lobby groups like the construction industry, who are legitimately saying, look, there is a housing crisis in the country. Let us get back to work and build some homes. Is there likely to be any movement on construction?
It's very much in the balance, is the sense that I'm getting. There are significant concerns, particularly amongst public health officials, around the degree of movement that's associated with the resumption of construction. And to get a little bit more detailed, we're not just talking about, you know, your normal average commutes over a distance of a few kilometres. What they're concerned about is a large degree of intercounty travel, tradespersons working on different sites up and down the country, which would, of course, then become de facto an essential work if it were permitted under the guidelines. So that's where a lot of that hesitancy comes from. Now, against that, you do have to, as you say, balance the fact that, you know, we are in the middle of a housing crisis and there is a credible argument that we're storing up problems for the future. And there are a lot of difficult political situations, or situations which are difficult for politicians, people who perhaps moved out of their homes to allow improvement works to take place and are now stuck, now stranded. That's a very hard case. That's a very difficult thing for an Irish politician to deal with. You know, mm-hmm. those are the kind of representations that they're getting, and those are the kind of situations that they'd like to be able to help people out on. But whether that is whether they're able to accommodate that within the broader kind of public health envelope and the advice that they're going to get from the public health emergency team this evening remains to be seen. It's very much in the balance.
And do we know what the likely advice from NPHET will be to the Cabinet subcommittee, who are, as you say, going to meet later today? Is there any indication at all?
So this is a bit of kind of reading the tea leaves. You know, NPHET had a meeting earlier on today. It's broken up now, broke up just before 2 o'clock, as I understand it. And the view among senior members in NPHET is also that we will be able to open up, but not yet. Mm-hmm. That protective cover offered by vaccination hasn't penetrated far enough into the population. So while we may have some super vulnerable cohorts, people who are particularly exposed to high risk of death or infection in the case of healthcare workers, while they may be protected, we don't have the kind of protection amongst the wider population that would enable a more open approach to unlocking. You couple that with the very high transmissibility associated with the B.1.1.7 variant and the fact that they're still trying to figure out what the new relationship is between higher case numbers, hospitalizations, ICU admissions and deaths. And I think there's probably just too much uncertainty in that kind of epidemiological space for them to give the go-ahead for anything drastic at the moment.
It is a very sensitive, fine balancing act, no question about it. Can I ask you about what Minister Stephen Donnelly said earlier in the Shannon Jack as well? He spoke about the controversy over the Beacon Hospital, where it emerged that 20 teachers from St. Jude's Private School were offered vaccinations out of sequence. Let's have a listen to what he said, and then I'll ask you.
It's completely unacceptable what happened, and it sent out the wrong image. And what everybody saw was that this stank of privilege. That's what that stank of. That's what it looked like to everybody. And it shouldn't have happened. I have suspended operations, vaccine operations at the Beacon Hospital. There is also a letter going to the board asking for a full account, and to Senator Conway's question, any other vaccines that have been in the care of the Beacon Hospital that have gone out of prioritisation.
Do you think, Jack, based on what you're hearing, that that's going to be enough to send a letter to the board? He suspended operations there, as he said. Is there anything further going to happen to the Beacon as a result of this controversy, in your opinion?
So I think the pressure is all coming to bear on Michael Cullen, the CEO of the Beacon Group. And, you know, I think that what we're seeing from a purely political perspective is not dissimilar to the kind of playbook that the state ran in the immediate aftermath of the Davy scandal, with the suspension of work from the NTMA to that broking firm. You may see perhaps the Department of Health and the HSE move in a similar direction. They do exercise some levers of power over the Beacon Hospital, even though it's a private hospital, through their purchase of treatment through the National Treatment Purchase Fund. It remains to be seen whether that's a level that they want to go to, because obviously they do need the Beacon Hospital for that, or indeed whether it's a level that they have to go to, or whether the Beacon Hospital may take some action, some sort of redress off its own back.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times. Thank you very much indeed.